Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM. And I have to say, a bit of a chilly old morning out there, but hell, it's going to look like it's going to be a great day. So anyone out there listening on the old radio, going to sports or getting ready to go out to sports, have a great day, and I hope you enjoyed the show. We are the mid-morning voice of sports in the 09. Anyway, we might as well rip into it right now. Before we go to rugby, a big shout-out to Father Ted's Original Irish Pub. They're based at 1 Wellesley Street West in the Auckland CBD. They have a selection of local craft and international draft beers on taps. They have a selection of bottle beers, fine wines, good spirits, great food and music Wednesday through to Sunday. So make Father Ted's your location to go to. Their number is 09377 3142, or you can email them fatherteds@hotmail.com. Well, we come to the Super Rugby Grand Final, and here to join us, as he always joins us every Saturday for a bit of rugby and a bit of hilarity, former All Black AJ Whitten. Good morning to you, mate.
Good morning, Petey. A bit chilly, but good morning, and looking forward to a match all of a sudden, the big final. So, bring it on.
Yeah, well, I've just done it. Well, as you know, I'm a great student of the game, and I know there's going to be a smart comic coming here, but I've just been doing an evaluation of both these sides. I look at it like the back three are very even. The midfield, you probably give it to the Canes. The first five halfback combination, I still think is even. The loose forwards, wow, this is maybe just the edge to the Canes, but the type five even. You know, who becomes that key person for both these sides? Because when you look at it, the Hurricanes, they have been the form team all year. They have just played superb rugby, and they've been a pleasure to watch. And obviously, we look at some of the big names like the Roy Guards. You look at your Geordie Barretts. You look at your Cariffies and your Lackeys, and then Warner Dearns. And obviously, their front row with Tossie, Amua and Numia, wow, I think this is a very, very good side. But on the other side, you've got a Chiefs side. They've been to four finals. They've lost four finals. Is this going to be the Chiefs' day? Even, they've got it against it.
Well, they're going to find out. I mean, the good thing is you've got the two top teams in the competition, and that's what you want. And by far, they are the two top teams. You mentioned a lot of players. Look, pretty even teams on paper, pretty even teams at the end of the comp. Both had 11 wins. Bonus points, I think, played a pivotal role in the Hurricanes securing the home final. But it's just good to see how it should play out in a competition. And honestly, a bit of wind out there tonight. I think it's going to be one of the closest ones we've had. You mentioned the Chiefs' record hasn't been good. I think they've won one out of four finals. They'll be hurting. Hopefully they don't dwell on that too much. They've just got to focus on this game at hand. And, of course, the Hurricanes, 10 years since their last success. So it's all set up really nicely. Let's just hope the competition or the match delivers on what we think it could do with the talent on the field. You mentioned those players, combinations. I mean, Roy Guard and Love, of course, is the talking point. But for me, Ratima and McKenzie, even though D-Max had a few matches with concussion off, I think Ratima is one who's put his hand up, and I wouldn't be surprised, and we'll probably talk later about a couple of guys making the All Blacks and the initial squad with Dave Rennie. I think he's jumped the queue. So I think he's been very consistent and very athletic around the park. The loose forwards, of course, Atiti out, protocol concussions. Parker is filling in the boot. Good, solid, and always will give 100%, but not quite in that Satiti class. But Fenau Jacobson, you've mentioned, have been there against Flanders, who's back from concussion, who I think has been the outstanding loose forward of the competition. Sadly, he's going offshore. Lakai and Kariffi, always a menace on the dirt. And you've mentioned the second rows and Dearns and Walker Leary, who's come in, I think, for Delaney, and by Ian Lord. Look, you could just go right through the team. I think it's just one of the biggest matchups that ticks all the boxes. Few injuries, obviously. Fokiti's out after his very good semi-final. Brown's come in. Hutchinson out at the back for Coon, and Coon's family's come in. But I think what's really impressed me is the depth of these squads. They've nurtured them, they've given them the opportunities, especially when obviously there's been injuries, and these men have delivered. So right across the board, their squads have shown how important it is to pick depth, and that's come right to fruition. So I'm looking forward to it, and as I said, who to pick? Well, I'd pick the Canes usually, but look, I feel a bit disappointed for the Chiefs, Piggy, so I'm going to pick the Chiefs, but it's going to be one hell of a game, and I hope it delivers for the public.
Absolutely, and of course, there's a small little thing we've got to pick on Monday called Dave Rennie's first all-black team of the year. Now, the news came out, Lester Fayanunuku is out. He probably will not make the South African series. It is going to be much, much the same as we expect. Expect Artie Sevier to be named as captain. Obviously, look, it'll be interesting to see what happens when he goes out on that first test in Christchurch. They're not forgiving people down there, but, you know, I'm looking at to see, is there going to be a new cap? Well, there's one. I think Numia, he will make it. Maybe just edges Ollie Norris in there. But I look at the back line. Obviously, with Fayanunuku out, it opens up an opportunity for someone like a Josh Morby. Obviously, we talk about the halfbacks and Cortez Ratama. In the last couple of games, he has made big strides. And obviously, for that number two position and behind Cam Roygaard, the number three position becomes interesting. Noah Hoffman would be your automatic choice, and many are saying that. But Lennox, who played for the Highlanders, watch him. He could be that bolter. And when we come to the loose forwards, maybe this is a very long stretch, but Anton Signer could make that All Black squad. And for this series, I believe he's going to make it for the tour to South Africa anyway. But they're even talking Anton Signer, even Jamie Hanna from the Crusaders.
Well, I think, as I said, we've got a new coach coming in, a bit of a new team selection-wise, so they'll have their own idea of how they want to run the cutter, pattern-wise, game-wise, so there may be a few surprises. I mean, there are some players who probably deserve an opportunity, and you've mentioned some. Centre, of course, would be the leading player from the Blues. Disappointing, being there or thereabouts, but never quite been able to deliver and let themselves down, I thought, through the season. And maybe some of their players may pay the price. But there's certainly the two top teams in the competition would be dominated, surely, with the incumbent test match players being there. But I think they deserve to be rewarded, and it wouldn't surprise me if there's a possibly two or three that get a nod out of left field. So good luck to them if they do.
Yeah, well, that's what's going to be interesting. Obviously, there'll be pressure on a number of players. Obviously, Bowden Barrett is one, and whether they're urged to pick Rick Ione after his stint and Lentz coming back from Leinster, that's where it's going to be interesting. Tava Niwe, I think he's got to be there. Anyway, Super Rugby, our picky kicked off last week and wins to the Blues and the Matatu. And I have to say, congratulations to the people of Christchurch who went to support the Matatu in a victory against Chiefs Manawa at the Glass House. They got 11,000 there. I think that's great.
Yeah, no, good to see that. When you've got the facilities to support your province and the area there, and it's welcoming, it's new, it's covered, it's warm. All the facilities are working, from food delivery, beverage, and so forth. And sun's shining, why not? So you get the right facility, get the right mix, the people will come. And I guess that's just pointing it out to a lot of other venues that have just got to get their delivery in order to make sure the punters can come and spend their money, because they've got plenty of choices to go elsewhere.
Well, from what I hear, that stadium's just, that's the way it goes. You've definitely got to have a roof. it makes a difference, and I think in the centre of the city does make a difference as well too.
Yep.
So it's access, yeah. Like you'll be going down there to watch Auckland MPC now.
I'm gonna
be. There'll be a few of my mates down there. They'll be keeping an eye on you, AJ.
Oh, mate, name them. I dare you to name them. I don't know if you've got any down there.
Oh, I've got a lot. I'm very popular down in Christchurch. I've got a. I'm a bit of a hero.
What, in Nairn City?
Oh, well, you got me with that one. Anyway, mate, obviously I'll be trying to go out and watch a bit of rugby today and maybe watch our Lizards. Might go down to your club. I think it's in Orak. It's no longer in Air Street. And, you know, haven't got much planned. But what about your crew? What about Fenton and the crew? What are they up
to? Well, there's no busy day. Fenton Little's got a function tomorrow at your club, tonight, at Eden. So she'll be going along there. She said she'd be keen to meet Peggy. I said, well, look down, don't look up. That's for the first thing. And I said, if you find his wallet, it's a national treasure. So make sure you take a picture of it for him to buy a round of drinks. So she's out there looking forward to being hosted at Eden. I've got a catch up with some friends late this morning from overseas, and I'm going to have a bit of a chin wag, and I'm going to be sitting down to watch that final because it deserves for us to sit down and watch it. And as I say, the two best teams, and hopefully the Chiefs can come through. But it's been a long campaign, but we've come to the end, Peggy. So really appreciated the chit chat, mate. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. You're not quite done yet, AJ. You know, this ain't like your normal job where you think you can have a break and go out for 2 hour lunches, pal. We may just have a chit chat about the All Black team next week, but it just depends on your availability as we get ready for the international season ahead. And geez, I tell you what, mate, there is a lot to watch, and I'm looking forward to what Dave Rennie's going to name on Monday.
Quickly, the first match down in Christchurch, it's France, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And will they be sending their, B team or something again? I guess they've got their final, so I'm assuming we'll be getting the same sort of teams coming out.
Apparently they've been told that they have to.
Right, okay.
Now, this is France. France always walk to the beat of their own drum. So, it's going to be interesting to see what they have. I'd like to see their top team out here. I'd like to see the likes of DuPont playing.
Oh, yeah, they've got some world-class players. It'd just be great if you're down there and having your first test match together. You get quality. I mean, that's what people are paying for. So that's the only issue I have. When you're going and spending money, and some big money to go to these major events, you want to make sure you've got the right spectacle on the turf. So hopefully they'll bring a good team down, and it'll be an absolute bolter. And we know how the French can play. So that could be a real ripper.
Anyway, AJ, you have a wonderful day.
Great.
And we'll chat next week, and you'll have a bit of a break from me until the international season starts. And I know that you're going to be disappointed about that.
That's why I'm going to go out and celebrate. Don't worry. As they say, au revoir, mon petit, mon ami.
Thank you very, very much. Have a great weekend, AJ Whitten.
Thank you, buddy. Goodbye.
AJ Whitten, he's always got to put one in. And next week, and of course, next week we'll just discuss the All Blacks, and we'll look forward to the internationals ahead. Then AJ gets a bit of a break from me. And then we look at, obviously we'll use AJ for the MPC season, and because he provides a lot of entertainment. Anyway, next up is Stephen Harris, and just play a bit of music, hopefully Spotify. I hope you're giving me some great support.
Neighborhood, easy as the breeze in springtime. He don't talk too much. When he does, the whole room gets luminous. Light everywhere, he said earlier this year.
tuned down real low, touching on the hi-fi radio. And then something moved him. He's never been the same since. Listening on the misty frequencies. He's listening. Walks real slow pace. She knows where she be going. International lifestyle control amplified by what she knows. Knapsacks, headphones.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender, and our regional club rugby wrap is brought to you by Force Electrical. Force Electrical, well, it was started in 2014 by my old mate Nick Brakovich, old Brax, my good mate, and it's grown into a wider, trusted name across a wider region. And why you should choose them? Well, first of all, they're reliable and they have knowledge that sets them apart. They stay ahead of the latest standards and technology. What they do? Well, what can't they do? No job too big, no job too small. So they cover residential and commercial projects, ongoing electrical maintenance, solar panel systems with inverters and battery storage, and ELV solutions. So if you're looking for any work to be done around your house, at your business, anything electrical, give Nick a call at Force Electrical. His number is 021-628-341, or you can email him nick@forceelectrical.co.nz. So we move on to our regional club rugby wrap, and here to join us as he joins us on most Saturdays, Mr. Stephen Harris. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Always a privilege and a pleasure, never a chore.
Oh, brilliant. I always love that, actually, when you say that. But you're forgetting the award winning, but, you know, we won't go there. It's all good. Anyway, we start off Northland. One game has already been sorted. It's Mid-Northern win by default against Carmo, but these are the games in Northland Whangarei Premier Rugby. Otamatea versus Old Boys Marist. Hora Hora versus Western Sharks. Kerikeri versus Hikarangi. Wellsford versus Ngāti Hine Moriwa. So, just some of your thoughts on those games, Stephen.
Just before I mention that, Carmo taking a bit of a risk, because if you look at the table, they are sitting on 38 points, so they probably feel that maybe they're comfortable of making the top four, but it's fought with a little bit of a risk. It means when they go into their last game against Wellsford next weekend, they will definitely have to win that game. They are playing at home, so that's a bit of an advantage for them. So Mid-Northern on 65, Western Sharks 38, Carmo 38, Ngāti Hine Moriwa on 38, and of course Wellsford on 38. The team that could sneak in with a couple of wins and results go their way is Hora Hora. But they will need to start with a win today against Western Sharks. And from what I believe, they are getting a couple of Blues players back. See, the Blues can finally release players now because they're no longer in the competition.
Oh, so, okay. Oh, surprise.
So there you go. So I'm thinking Hora Hora to pick up the chocolates this afternoon against the Western Sharks at home in this penultimate round. Kerikeri take on Hikarangi. Hikarangi have been real improvers in their last couple of games with a win, and I think a draw against OBM last weekend. So, you know what, I'm almost... Kerikeri are playing at home, but I might be tempted to go for Hikarangi on this one. No, tell you what, I'll back the truck up. I'll go for Kerikeri. Of course, the big game of the weekend is up in Wellsford this afternoon. 2:45 kickoff. Ngāti Hine Moriwa, who I had a look at against Mid-Northern last week. They're not a bad side if they can roll out their best 15. They had a few injuries, and I think they've got a lot to play for. I'm picking them to do the business on my home side this afternoon. But then again, Wellsford in their centenary year could be giving it 100 to maybe stay in that top four. But interesting times, especially for those places, second, third, and fourth.
Anyway, we head down the Northern Motorway. We head into North Harbour territory. And these are the games in the penultimate round of, I think this is the penultimate round of North Harbour Rugby. Maharangi versus North Shore. Massey versus Northcote. Now, this one is the game of the round. East Coast Bays versus Takapuna. And in a bit of a local derby, Cumu versus Helensville.
Yeah, that top four, more sure. Massey, Takapuna, East Coast Bays, I can't really see a lot of change. Northcote would have to. Yeah, I can't see a lot of change because what are we in, round 12 or 13?
12. We're done. We're just about done for the.
I think
the game, and I did mention it, that may just table places may be the East Coast Bays versus Takapuna.
Absolutely. I think North Shore once again will just carry on their winning way, making 11 in a row. Massey hosting Northcote will be far too strong. They'll want to hold solid to that second place, and like you say, I think Cumu Helensville, I think I'll probably give it to a bit of a next-door rivalry, but I give it to Cumu over Helensville there at home. And, of course, that East Coast Bays Takapuna game, very interesting. Takapuna coming off a loss. I know they had a few injuries. They'll be hoping to get some bodies back on the paddock. And I think at the end of the day, they'd probably prefer to play Massey than North Shore to give themselves half a chance, and that's why they'll be too strong for East Coast Bays.
Okay, so we go down the Southern Motorway. We head into County's Manukau territory. Then first to start us off, and these are probably the more predictable. It's probably going to be a very predictable weekend in County's Manukau rugby, probably apart from the last game. Pukekohe versus Weymouth, Bombay versus Papamoe, Papakura versus Karaka, and Massey versus Ardmore Marist in the last game of the round, because at the moment it's very unlikely that Ardmore Marist are going to be taken, are going to lose first place in the standings. So obviously this becomes probably the easiest round of games you can pick, Stephen.
Yeah, I'd have to go along with you. Obviously start with the easy ones. Pukekohe are going to be far too strong for Weymouth, so they'll basically lock in that second place. Remember, this is the penultimate round, so there is another one to go after this. And then we've got the likes of Karaka, who will be too strong for Papakura, so they'll pretty much cement semi-final places. Then we basically go to Bombay, Papamoe. Now, Papamoe really need to win this game because they're sitting on the same amount of points as Manurewa. I think that's possibly the game of the round, but I think Papamoe gets the job done. And of course Ardmore Manurewa are basically playing for their life, aren't they? And they're up against Ardmore Marist. I think, boy, if ever Ardmore Marist is going to get knocked over, it's probably today. And Manurewa need to win because they've got, I think, another tough assignment next weekend. I think they've got an away game either against Papamoe or Karaka. So, yeah, it's a tough road to go, but I can't see that changing.
Yeah, absolutely. So then we go to Auckland Women's Rugby. Now, we have two sections, but it's just become so confusing because teams are pulling out, etc. So Group A is Marist versus College Rifle. Group B is Mangarewa versus Massey Cumu. Well, be interesting with both Marist and Rifles probably affected by Super Rugby are picky, and maybe Mangarewa to a small extent.
Yeah, it's this is where you basically throw a dartboard at the dartboard. if you know what I mean. Listen, given those players that may be involved in Super Rugby, oh, picky, maybe we just go for the home sides.
Yeah, I think
Marist,
so too.
And possibly Manurewa to beat the, and it's great to see Massey Cumu with the side and the comp as well. I think they get the job done though.
Absolutely. So then we go to the penultimate round of Auckland Men's Premiership. The top six are sorted, but it's just positionings on the table. So let's have a look at this. So I'm going to start off. It's Ponsonby versus College Rifles, Pakuranga versus G-Tech, Manukau versus Suburbs. So we go for them, then we go for our two teams. So this first one, Rifles, a little bit of confidence with Rifles at the moment.
Quite frankly, I think Ponsonby will be too strong, and that might pretty much end College Rifles' chances of getting in a top four. Yes, they are in the top six, but I'm picking Ponsonby to be too strong.
Pakuranga versus G-Tech, you probably would go G-Tech on this.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Massive effort too from G-Tech last weekend as well. A bit of a, you know, of the week before when they beat Ponsonby.
Yeah,
definitely a bit of a turn-up, that one. And just the two losses, G-Tech, I'll expect them to get back on the winning horse.
Manukau Rovers versus Suburbs, you probably would have to say Manukau at this stage.
Yeah, Manukau will want to keep that top place because it's very important. Basically, that they secure home final for their
promotion
relegation playoff game.
Yep. Then we go to our two teams, and you guys are hosting the University Rugby Club.
Yeah, listen, we'll. We'll show up today to play, which is a good thing. There was a bit of talk because we are desperately short of players that we would maybe. There was the thought pattern there was that maybe we just default the game, but credit to the club.
No,
we managed to scrape up some players. We've even got a front row coming out of retirement as well to basically play. So yeah, we'll front up, but University will for all intents and purposes be far too strong for us.
Yep, good on you for fronting up. We'd hate to, but this is the state of rugby in New Zealand. And then my mob, we travel down to Mount Wellington Domain, former home of Tamaki, now it's Marist, and obviously I won't be able to make the mass they've got organised there. I will pass on my apologies to the father there, and I hope that he's put in a prayer for us. I look at our premier side, you know, while the results haven't gone our way, where there's been a lot of good things, and I've seen some positives, and, you know, we need to give it a really good go today, just for their confidence. I know that Marist are the favourites, and I'm loath to pick them as a winner, but I don't know if I can pick us as a winner. So I'm just going to do what I need to do and maybe get sponsorship from Bunnings for my picks. I'm just going to sit on the fence.
Yep, you should. I'll say it for you though, mate. I think Marist have got too much to play for. They're in that top four or so they basically want to try and push for some sort of home semi-final, mate, so I do apologise. But
no, don't apologise, it's all good.
I think it might be too strong, and listen, like you say, it's been a tough road for Ho for those bottom four teams, but congratulations to your club. You at least get to host a home playoff next week, which is pretty much everything at the end of the day. I've got to say, pretty sad times at our club at the moment. But we'll hang in there, and the sun will still shine, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah. Mate, just keep your head up, Stephen. I know that I can tell by, just tell by your voice, you know, like it's been a bit of a long season for you, mate.
Yeah. Oh, listen, still had a lot of fun. There's a good bunch of boys down at the club at the moment. You know, Yeah, I'll just leave it
out
there before I say something I regret.
No, good on you, Stephen, and well done to what you do. And I think, Pete, there should be more people like you around rugby clubs because, believe me, we have fair weather fans when it comes to Auckland Club Rugby. When you're winning, they're all there. When you're losing, they disappear. So, you know, good on you for what you've done, Stephen.
Yeah, that's working that out. All right, buddy. Hey, have a great day, yep. And all the best to everybody out there. Go out. I mean, those weather conditions aren't too bad, and of course, make sure you support your club. And, yep. And if you have to watch the Super Final down the club, do it. You know, watch it with a group of mates down the club. Should be a cracker of a game.
Absolutely, and I'm picking the Canes, but it'd be nice to see the Chiefs do it.
I don't think they will. I think the Canes won't miss this opportunity. I think everything I've heard about their culture and their drive, you know, you don't have to listen to Duplessis Kariffi in some of the interviews that I've basically heard that they've, you know, that's something that they both spoke about at the top of the season. So I think they'll go, well, hearing a few whispers that Luke Jacobson could be up this evening as well. So,
ooh.
Yeah, very interesting.
Mm. That has become a break, and as we speak, it's still to be confirmed, but I will say this right now, it's going to be very, very interesting. So, yep. Okay, so we'll leave it at that. Catch you later, Stephen. Have a good day, mate.
Cheers, buddy. See you.
Bye-bye. That was Stephen Harris. I can tell you someone, there's not one man who I think does a lot for rugby and is so passionate about the game than Stephen. We're very lucky to have him, mate. He's a good bloke. Anyway, we'll just play a bit of music.
Never thought I'd see the day when you would get up out of here. So, longtime friends, we remain the same until you return one day. I will say,
never fade away on you.
I never fade away on you, my friend. I'm still thinking of when we used to chill and reason till the morning sun. So we talk of places never seen before. Who would think you'd be the one to...
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend. And before we go any further, big shout out to WaterSmart. Weekend mission sorted, mate. Wash the car, rinse the boat, clean the bait station, keep the wife's tomatoes happy, all with a WaterSmart tank. No water restrictions, no worries. Different sizes to suit your property. So check out watersmart.co.nz and take control today. Anyway, we get on to some rugby league, and here to join us, the old green machine himself, Joey Green. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. I tell you what, if you're heading down to Christchurch this weekend, you might want to count yourself lucky, because that weather forecast isn't looking too great, but luckily there's a roof over that new stadium.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be huge. Well, just before we get on to the Warriors Cowboys, wow. Queensland, they're back in, they've leveled State of Origin. What a fantastic performance by Queensland.
Yeah, 100%, and I think, like most of the pundits have said through the week, you look at the likes of Sam Walker and Cameron Munster, what a halves combo that it's turned out to be. I think, you know, all the comments leading into game one especially, you know, is Sam Walker made for Origin? And after these, you know, two games into his Origin career, he's made for the stage, turns up when the pressure's on. And it makes for a great occasion heading into game three in Brisbane. Origin decider, if you're a Queensland fan or a player, you're going to be counting yourselves lucky, because, you know, what more do you want than an Origin decider at home? I think it's looking likely that, you know, we'll be sitting here in 3 weeks' time looking at a Queensland series victory.
I think we will too. I think, what was it? I think this Queensland side is just very, very good and very well coached by Billy Slater. Anyway, Sunday, 4 o'clock, under the roof in the Glasshouse, Te Kaha. I have Warriors versus Cowboys. This one, I'm going to be straight to the point. I still think while the Warriors are the big favourites, the Cowboys always provide a threat. Now, I'm looking at the Warriors side. Obviously, Cam Pereira is out. Nicol Kopse has been put on the wing, but I think that changes. I think they put Tepeke to the wing somehow. And it'll just be a change of position around. Also, Mitch Barnett and Capewell, well, they've more or less been, have been more or less, maybe will be rested, just depending on their recovery. Interesting times ahead. Luke Metcalf has made it into the squad along with Rocco Berry.
Yeah, look, there's going to be some interesting points to look at when you get to that Sunday afternoon matchup. Like you said, the Cowboys on their day are one of the form sides of the competition. You only have to look to their back line. Jackson Purdue moves into the 5'8 role. Scott Drinkwater on his day is one of the best fullbacks in the comp. Other than that, they're relatively unchanged from before their bye last weekend. So it's going to be a really tough matchup. You've got a couple of talented back rowers in Helam Luke and Jeremiah Nunai. Joseph Tamalolo, since he's moved into that front row, has kind of revived his career over the last 6 months. The Warriors, on the other hand, like you said, we saw Cam Pereira go down with a pretty bad cork last week. I'll be honest, I think Nicol Klokstar stays on the wing. I think Tuafiki's kind of cemented himself as the first choice fullback over the last, over the last 8 rounds. And I think it just shows where the club is heading. I'm expecting a big game from someone like Kenneth Dalwood-Smith as well. Got his first start of the season last weekend, heading back down to Christchurch as well as hometown. He's going to want to put on a show for his family, especially being at home as well. I can't see how Origin stars will back up, but then you look at the likes of Jacob Laban, Aaron Clark, Jackson Ford, expect a big game from him too with how the New South Wales Blues forward pack performed on Wednesday night. Who knows how this matchup could go? The Cowboys, like we said, on their day are one of the best sides in the competition, but the Warriors, if they want to be premiership threats come September, October, they're going to need to win games like this one, especially at the new stadium in Christchurch. You're going to want to build a faithful down there. Hopefully the Warriors can walk away with the 2 points.
Absolutely. So we move on to the rest of the NRL weekend. Obviously last night, one game played, Knights 22, Dragons 20. Fletcher Sharp was outstanding, but oh my God, the Dragons almost stole it at the end.
Yeah, the Dragons very unlucky not to walk away with the 2 points in this one. Dylan Brown and Fletcher Sharp, look, I think whenever Caelan Ponga falls out of the side, like the Knights kind of fall away, and it all basically just rests on Dylan Brown and Fletcher Sharp. And I think heading into the back end of the season, they're just going to need to ice games like this one, especially against the Dragons side, who, as much as they didn't get the win last night, if this forward pack continues to just build and build over the back end of the season, they don't need results. But you look at their signings for 2027. You've got the likes of Luke Metcalf, Scott Drinkwater, even Phil Sami coming to the club. Don't expect results this year if you're a Dragons fan. Look to 2027. This could be a very, very dangerous team.
Absolutely. Anyway, these are the games for the weekend in the NRL. On Saturday, we have the West Tigers versus the Dolphins. We have the Titans versus the Panthers and the Bulldogs versus the Seagulls. Wow. West Tigers have not had a good run. Obviously, a lot of controversy this week. But the Dolphins, they've been high-flying this season.
Yeah, I think since Anzac Day, the Dolphins have kind of been one of the most improved sides. The Tigers got a gutsy win at Leichhardt last weekend. They're across the way at Campbelltown this afternoon, which, surprisingly, this season has been a pretty happy hunting ground for them. The Dolphins without Isaiah Kartor this afternoon, without the hammer, so Trey Fuller plays fullback tonight. Look, I think Isaiah Kartor might just be the difference for the Dolphins side. Brad Schneider comes in to play the halfback, and whilst he was pretty handy, or has been pretty handy rather, for the Dolphins so far this season, Katoa's been, you know, basically running the ship on his own, and their combination with Nikarima has been one to watch. And I think without, just purely without their number seven, I can't see the Dolphins getting a win tonight.
The Titans versus the Panthers. Now, obviously, the Panthers will be resting a few after Origin, but Titans, you know, this could be an opportunity for them to get the two.
Yeah, exactly. Like we saw when Gold Coast took on the Broncos a couple of weeks ago, they snuck away with the 2 points and probably caught everyone off guard. And another similar opportunity for them to tonight against a Penrith side who rest their Origin stars. And as much as they sit 16th on the ladder, they look like a much improved side with the new halfback and Dane Harrison. Yes, they're going against, you know, the Panthers juggernaut that just continues to roll and roll. They've had a couple of massive games. Last week, the big win over the West Tigers. A gutsy win over the Warriors a few weeks before that as well. But the Titans at home, Saturday afternoon, they're going to want to enjoy the weekend. So I think we might see them sneak away with an upset.
Absolutely. Anyway, so then we also move on. Bulldogs versus Seagulls. Obviously, this one, the Seagulls, I favour to just put pour more misery on the Bulldogs.
Yeah, and as much as, you know, the Bulldogs have the star-studded side on paper, they should be a lot higher than where they sit currently in 12th. They've got Kurt Mann, who's not a traditional hooker. Bailey Hayward coming off the pine. We might see that switch pre-kickoff, but none of them are genuine hookers. As much as Lockie Galvin has been, you know, trying his backside off, his combination with Jacob Preston since they moved away from them, it has kind of disgruntled their attack a little bit, missing that impact of Satili Tupanewa off the bench as well. He's been, as much as he's been massive for them in that right-hand second row, his impact off the bench through the start of the season was massive for them. And against, you know, Fosball at the moment, Hamoli Olakau'atu will want a big game, obviously missing out on game two on Wednesday night. So I'm expecting Fosball to walk away pretty comfortably with this one.
Absolutely. Then we go Storm versus Raiders. Obviously, the Storm will, came back to a bit of form. Cam Munster's been named in the side. Raiders, really not been the season they expected, but I think I just will have to give this one to the Storm.
Yeah, and I think like we've touched on the last few weeks, the Melbourne Storm form kind of just purely rests on their spine. Whenever their spine seems to click into gear, especially through this Origin period, is when they start to find some happy footy and finding 2 points wherever they go. You would have looked at this game last year and probably would have thought it would be a top four clash, and neither of these sides sitting where they are on the ladder in 11th for Melbourne and 13th for Canberra. If the Melbourne spine don't back up after Origin, then I would expect the Canberra Raiders to walk away with a win. But if we see the Harry Grant, the Cam Munsters back up, then I think the Storm are getting the 2 points tomorrow afternoon.
Okay, so then our final game to wrap up the round of NRL. It is going to be the Roosters versus the Sharks.
Yeah, look, I think it's a pretty simple way for the Cronulla Sharks to look at this game. Yep, they got a gutsy win over the Warriors last weekend, but I think if Nico Hynes and Blake Brayley don't manage to come back into the side this, tomorrow night, then I think we've seen the star-studded Roosters, to be fair, walking away with the 2 points. When you've got the likes of Egan Butcher and Benai Uwelu, who could probably go to another club and be a walk-up starter, you know, when you're seeing them in the reserve side, then, you know, it just shows how much depth the Sydney Roosters have at the moment. So the Roosters pretty comfortably, unless we see Hynes and Brayley playing in the Sharks side tomorrow night.
Then we move on to Fox Memorial, and these are the games of the round. Papakura versus Bay Roskill, Point Chevalier versus Mount Albert, Marist Saints versus Manukau, and Ponsonby versus Otahuhu. So that first game, Papakura, I think will just have to be too good for Bay Roskill.
Yeah, Bay Roskill, especially after their electric start to the season, have started to fall away a little bit. And I think if they want to have any chance of not only staying at the competition, but being a bit of a threat to these top sides, they're going to need to get a win, especially out of Papakura. Not an easy place to go to when Papakura are flying, but I think just at home they're going to be too tough to stop the Sea Eagles.
Absolutely. Then we've got we have Pointshead versus Mount Albert Lions.
Yeah, look, this Pointshead taking on Mount Albert, I think this game's just going to be won through the middle. When you look at the likes of Pointshead, you've got Herman Retzlaff, Pat Sipley, a very big and mobile forward pack against a very young forward pack in the Mount Albert Lions. And I think whoever manages to find the front foot through the middle of the field, I think takes the 2 points this afternoon, and I'd expect Pointshead to win that battle there.
Absolutely. And then we go to Marist Saints versus Manukau. Manukau, I think, you know, they've actually had quite a good season.
Yeah, they're starting to, starting to find a really good patch of form that the Magpies, and yeah, they're probably one of the dark horses in the competition at the moment. Marist, whilst they've been challenging some sides, Manukau, look, I'll be honest, they're probably going to finish in the top four, and I wouldn't be surprised if they go close to a grand final appearance this season.
Absolutely, and of course, Ponsonby versus, who's had a good season, take on Otahuhu. I think Otahuhu, they just look the best team by a country mile in this competition.
Yeah, 100%. Look, and this one could be a close one too. The last time we saw these two sides take each other on at Bruhenham Park, there was only 2 points in this game, and Ponsonby really took it to the Otahuhu side. So Ponsonby will want to back that effort up again, and whilst they're going to be hopeful of sneaking an upset, Otahuhu, with a couple of nice additions to their side, I think walk away pretty comfortably.
Absolutely. Then we move to the Steel Shanks Women's Premiership. Mangarewa versus Manukau. Richmond versus Otahuhu. Mount Albert versus Mangarewa. So we start off that first one, a battle of the South, Mangarewa versus Manukau.
Yeah, look, Manukau, through the start of the season, got a couple of nice results. We haven't seen them finish a back up their form so far again. Their Mangarewa starting to find their feet now, and with a couple of key additions back into their side, I think they'll be too strong this afternoon for the Magpies. Richmond taking on Otahuhu. Similar to the Ponsonby and Otahuhu side, when we saw these two sides clash in the first part of the round robin, Richmond went to Bruhenham and got the upset over the Otahuhu side, and they wouldn't have been too happy with that effort first up, the Otahuhu women's side. So I think they'll be wanting to flip the result and go to Grayland and get a win back. And I'm expecting them to do that too. Mount Albert taking on Mangere. Now, a couple of sides who have won games they probably shouldn't have and have lost games that they probably should have won. And I think Mangere East is starting to find their feet in this women's grade now. Like we've touched on the last few weeks, a very young side and a lot of very talented young players on this Mangere East side too. Mount Albert, a couple of their players getting called into the Warriors NRLW side for the season, and I expect Mangere East will probably sneak away with the 2 points this afternoon.
Absolutely. Well, Joey, thank you so much, as per usual, for making yourself available. I know you'll be having a quick look at the other rugby code and hoping that your Chiefs have a win.
Yeah, for sure, mate. No doubt it'll be, a full house at the Caketon tonight, but I hope that the Chiefs can go down there, sneak away with the trophy, and then enjoy the celebrations in Hamilton for the rest of the weekend.
Absolutely. Well, you have a wonderful weekend. Always brilliant having a chat, mate, and we will catch up next week.
Always a pleasure, mate. We'll chat again next week, and go the Chiefs.
Yeah, good on you, man. Catch you later. That was Joey Green, the old green machine. So next up, we're going to speak a bit of cricket with Garth Galloway.
I was walking down the street, concentrating on truck and right. I heard a dark voice beside of me, and I looked round in a state of fright. I saw four faces, one lad, a brother from the gutter. They looked me up and down a bit and turned to each other. No, no.
chain. He said, I'll give you $1. I said, you've got to be joking, man. It was a present from my mother. He said, I like it, I want it, I'll take it off your hands and you'll be sorry. You cross me, you better understand that you're alone. Sinking pina colada. I heard a dark voice beside me say, would you like something harder? She said, I got it, you want it, my harvest is the best, and if you try it, you'll like it. I'm wallowing a dreadlock holiday.
Dreadlock holiday. Anyway, just before we get on to our cricket segment, and we've just got a little bit to get through, just going to give you some updates. And of course, Football World Cup this morning, USA 2, Australia 0. And of course, in a game that's been played live at the moment, and it is Morocco 1. They scored after 71 seconds versus Scotland 0. So that'll be very, very interesting. I know there'll be a lot of nervous Scottish fans, and obviously there's quite a bit to get through. Anyway, before we go any further, and a big shout out to those fans watching the World Cup. You can listen later on planetaudio.org.nz to the Sports Weekender. Anyway, finding the right people can be hard. Many unexpected surprises. Cut out those unexpected surprises by contacting Enterprise Recruitment. They will find you the right candidate to suit your business needs. With branches nationwide, they will source out the people that will excel your business to a new level. So contact enterprise.co.nz and find the right people. Anyway, it was actually a big shout out to Ian and Warwick. Now I'm going to see if my old friend, my good friend, Mr. Galloway Esquire, is there. Mr. Galloway, how are you?
I certainly am, and thanks for fleshing things out a little bit while I got the car parked. Yeah, what a night of cricket, eh?
Yeah, what a night of cricket. And just before we go any further, I got a text late last Saturday when I was probably two sheets to the wind asleep. But obviously, before we start on there, Kane Williamson. What an absolute he went out on his own terms, surprising mid-series. Yep. I was very impressed. Obviously, he probably did see what happened with the Tim Salvey tour, that farewell tour, which just went on for too long. He's gone out on his own terms, possibly doesn't feel like he has the love anymore for this, but you know what, what a player. We look at our great players, yep. and I'm going to name them. So Richard Hadlee, Martin Crowe, Bert Sutcliffe, and then you have Kane Williamson.
Yeah, look, I'm one of our greats, unquestionably. And you know, I feel sad, actually, that he's gone out after the first test. You know, it's clear, and you and I talked, you know, I talked after the West Indies series last year that, for me, he just didn't seem to be picking up the ball as clearly as he had been, and there was something wrong there, you know. So one of the things about Kane is he didn't play and miss early on in his innings at his peak, and that had crept in. And then you saw in the first test at Lord's, again, just didn't look like himself. So I think, you know, it's a bit of a shame that it happened mid-tour. The other time, it, you know, in recent times that we can think of that is Graham Swann, of course, in 2013 in the Ashes series in Australia, where he pulled out midway through the tour. But it doesn't detract from a marvellous career for New Zealand. He's clearly, you know, a really wonderful human being, a person who's always, I think, put the team ahead of himself. Doesn't covet the media or the attention or the fame and all of those things, just gets about things quietly. And I think that's, you know, many things, those are the sort of qualities that New Zealanders love. You know, I've never heard of him, you know, throwing a tantrum, misbehaving in any way. He's been incredibly disciplined, a beautiful stroke player, and as you say, one of our finest. And I just, you know, wish him all the very best and hope that he has a wonderful retirement, whatever he chooses to do. I'm sure, you know, there might be still a bit of other cricket for him around the world and things, hopefully. But what a player.
Absolutely. Anyway, we move on to what has been an exciting second test. First innings, New Zealand 391, a fantastic century by Glenn Phillips, supported by Blundell 51, Jameson 41. England were bowled out for 291, Gay 53, Fisher 50, Root 46, but our premier bowler Matt Henry 5 for 83, and of course New Zealand 252 for 3. Henry Nicholls comes into that number 3 slot, and he's 190 not out. He's been well supported by Ravindra, who scores 72, Mitchell 32 not out at the end. A bit of redemption for Henry Nicholls.
Oh, yeah, well, that's an understatement. I mean, I haven't seen a future for Henry, really. And I think this is an incredible story. God, it tells you a lot about the guy, doesn't it? You know, a lot of us have been saying he shouldn't be there, and they need to start looking to the future. I've been one of those people. And then they put him in at 3 when Williamson pulls out. And again, I think some question marks about Henry Nicholls batting at 3, and he scores 100. I just think it's an incredible story. I salute him. It's magnificent. And you know, I read a post on Instagram where people were criticising his selection, and as Gavin Larson rightly said, you know, what are we supposed to do? He's been knocking the door down. You know, he's had the most unbelievable season for Canterbury, and you know, he really forced his way into the team and had to be picked. And the good news here, the very good news is Matt Henry's mother. I'm at Charteris Bay Golf, and there's Lynn Henry walking past. She plays out here, so there's a nice little coincidence for you. Mrs. Henry, she'll be very proud of her son, which is
brilliant.
Those 5 wickets. Hey, the other thing that I think is really good, though, about this this test match, that innings by Glenn Phillips was very special. Jofra Archer's spell was spiteful, and I don't mean that in a nasty way, but it was spiteful, tough, fast bowling. And Phillips showed extraordinary courage. I again, just a typical how New Zealanders see New Zealand, want to see New Zealanders play. It was nuggety, and it put New Zealand on the front foot. And I just think, he, you know, again, yeah, salute that fella. He was amazing. And, of course, Matt Henry's 5 wickets. The other thing I think that's worth talking about in the test, Eamon, is, you've got this extraordinary thing where Root has come back in as captain because of the misbehaving, you know, Brock and Stokes and so on. And he just had a horror show. I thought that first hour or first session of that second morning, I just couldn't understand a thing that England did. They went for the short pitch stuff. It was just rubbish. And then with a new ball and Archer, having bowled that spell the night before, an hour and a half to get Archer into the attack, and Jacob Bethel bowling the fifth over with the new ball. Just utterly bizarre. And England only have themselves to blame for where they are. Unless things go very wrong for them, New Zealand should put them away here.
So do New Zealand bat on and maybe do declare around tea time tomorrow?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're 350 ahead. England on a very good day, they're not frightened of chasing big totals, but they're not a side, I think, with a whole lot of confidence, really. And I think I'd look to, if they're capable of it, I think they'd look to bat to midway through the second session and just put the game out of, they get 500 runs ahead or so. What are they, 325 or something at the moment? So I think get up towards 480, 490, put the game beyond and then get stuck into them.
Absolutely. Okay, so we might as well get to it. The White Ferns, they have been absolutely... I know you don't want to talk about it. I can just hear your voice.
No, I don't.
But they've been disappointing. They lost to the West Indies. The Sri Lanka, we shouldn't be losing to Sri Lanka. We struggle for a 5-run win over Ireland. Ireland should have beaten us.
Oh, look, it's embarrassing. I don't know what's gone on with this team. Highly paid now. And as I said to you, I think the World Cup win a couple of years ago was an aberration. We look at the World Cup in New Zealand, the 50 over one where they were so disappointing. They've lost, they went into that World Cup that they won having lost, I think, 8 out of 9 games against England. And then, things went in their favour in terms of the draw. I mean, good on them. You can't take it away from them. But this has just been awful. And, against the West Indies, I think they dropped 7 catches. Izzy Gaze missed 3 stumpings. And then in the second game against Sri Lanka, the fielding was just awful again. And, I mean, the catching has been the worst I've seen by any international side. It's been horrendous. And to see is it Nilashankar, who the Sri Lankan player who scored a very good 50 to steer Sri Lanka home, dropped on one, an absolute sitter at short finding. I don't know what's happened. I cannot understand it, how they can go from being, chugging along quite nicely under Mili Kerr's very good captaincy that she showed going into this tournament. They've just been woeful, in my view. Terrible.
Absolutely. And I think, they don't like being criticised, but they have to be. If this was a New Zealand men's team, we would be doubly critical.
Well, I don't, and you know me, I don't treat them any differently in terms of what you say about them. When things are going well for them, plenty
they
of praise. I've thoroughly enjoyed, watching Devine without the captaincy. She's a different player. She's brutal when she's going. Just absolutely wonderful. But when you see a side dropping 7 catches and then doing more, just being worse again, almost against Sri Lanka, the only thing you can think of is the pressure of the situation's got to them. And that seems bizarre given that they're the reigning champions, and they've got, they've got a pretty reasonable squad over there. I don't know. I just, as I say, it's just unfathomable. I can't understand what's happened.
Neither can I. Garth, I better let you get your clubs out and enjoy yourself. Obviously you'll be on Monday, you'll be glued to the TV looking at the football, but with the All Whites versus Egypt.
Well, I'm the honorary president of New Zealand football, so of course I will be. A very high status role, Eamon, where I do absolutely nothing, as you know. But yes, I will be watching. I thought they gave a pretty good first
result
first game. And look, what a tournament. What a game. What a game, eh?
Yeah.
There's just nothing better. I just love it. I've got, all our family are just enthralled with it and watching so much. I have it on an iPad at home, on my desk at work. Just bloody wonderful.
It is. And I tell you something, I think the country, I've done an interview with Seamus Martin from Between Two Bears podcast, yep, who's over there. And believe me, he's just telling me the atmosphere is absolutely amazing. So I will let you go, young man. You have a wonderful weekend and we will catch up hopefully next week.
All good. All the best.
Cheers. That was Garth Galloway. So, as promised, I have done an interview this morning with Seamus Martin, and this is brought to you by Team Thompson Real Estate. So you're looking to buy, looking to sell, looking to get on the Auckland property market. I consider them as my great two mates, Robert and Deborah Thompson. And, you know, they will get the best results, give you the best advice, and will make sure that you get the result either if you're looking to buy or if you're looking to sell, if you're looking for a bit of advice. Robert's number, the great man as we call him, Robert's number is, I'll just get to that right now. So Robert's number is, sorry about this people, the screen has just froze on me. Great. So Robert's number is 021-737-949, or you can call, or if you can't get hold of Robert, get hold of Deborah. She's cool. 021-673-600. Anyway, let's get to the interview. Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the Sports Weekend. Well, this is a pre-record. It's good morning to me in cold and miserable Auckland, and it's freezing out here, but it's good afternoon to our football correspondents, co-host of two very exciting podcasts, Between Two Bears and Between Two Posts. Good afternoon to Seamus Martin in Vancouver.
Yeah, g'day. Welcome to Vancouver, but you're back there in New Zealand. But yes, we are. We are here in Vancouver, arrived from San Diego yesterday. And I've got to tell you, World Cup fever is alive and well here in Canada. Where we were in San Diego, it wasn't a match venue. No games were being played there. It was probably a little bit subdued, but when we arrived afternoon, it was, I think at that stage, Canada 5, Qatar 0. No, I lie. When we landed, it was Canada 3, Qatar 0. And by the time we transferred from the airport to the hotel, it was Canada 6, Qatar 0. And the streets in Vancouver just filled with red.
Oh, wow.
Everybody here was on top of the moon. Their greatest result in World Cup history, their second ever win. And yeah, the mood was buoyant. It's a little bit more subdued today in the aftermath, but look, there's football shirts everywhere. Scotland shirts, there's Croatian shirts, there's Mexican shirts, Canada shirts, of course, a couple of New Zealand shirts as well, as the fans start to arrive here in Vancouver in anticipation of this game against Egypt. So it really does have a feel to where we've been for the last week.
I will say this right now, obviously Tuesday our time, Monday your time, that was one hell of a match, All Whites 2, Iran 2. I know, I can understand the disappointment for the All Whites squad, but wow, it was probably, when you hear people like Chris Sutton on BBC saying this has been the best game in the tournament so far, it means that New Zealand is held in high esteem, and we deserve to be there.
Yeah, it really was. We do, and it really was a good game. It was two teams that, I won't say they threw caution to the wind, because it was a tactical display by both, but they were two teams that went out wanting to play and wanting to find a win. Neither team really looked like they were showing fear. The fact that at 2-2, with 10 minutes to go, we spoke to Darren Baisley a couple of days after the match, and he was sort of lamenting, you know, that they didn't get across the line with the 3 points, but also reflecting back on, in that position, do you sit on it, do you sit and hope for a point, or do you go for it and try and get the 3 points? And they went for it. You know, Chris Wood had a chance towards the end of the game to try and sneak it for New Zealand. Iran was throwing absolutely everything at the All Whites. The atmosphere inside Los Angeles Stadium was something I'd never witnessed before. Every time in those final 10 minutes that Iran got anywhere near New Zealand's goal, the noise levels just went through the roof. You know, speaking to the players afterwards, they weren't able to hear each other from a couple of metres away. It really had that big, big event feeling to it. And it was a, you know, it was a good result. There is a tinge of I won't say disappointment. Mm. I don't think that's the right word. But look at probably the playing group looking back on it and thinking we'd done enough to get 3 points. We took the lead twice, a couple of moments or lapses of concentration, you know. But let's give it to Iran as well. Geez, the second goal, the header was phenomenal.
Oh, brilliant.
So it really was a fantastic day in terms of you know, New Zealand football history. And he's hoping for another positive one against Egypt in a couple of days' time.
Now, just looking at, obviously, we look at the game that's gone past. Eli just was absolutely superb. Probably another couple of million added to his potential transfer. Chris Wood, well, yeah. Finn Sermon, I felt Finn Sermon was outstanding at the back, Seamus.
Yeah, look, I think if you identify or isolate individual performances, you've got most of the good ones there. For me, Chris Wood was outstanding. The way he's able to cushion the ball, bring other players in, was absolutely superb. Finn Sermon, Michael Boxall at the back were excellent. Marko Stamenic for me was superb. Even Joe Bell contributing in different ways. And I know he's copped a lot of criticism, but I thought Sarpreet Singh at times was excellent. The way he was able to drift into space, find little pockets, and bring other people in. And I think that one of the heroes is Callum McCowart, who does a lot of the dirty work, does a lot of the defending from the front, and also the sacrificial runs to open up spaces for other people. Look, they were good. I don't expect too many changes, if any changes, to Darren Baisley's side, but I do wonder whether he might consider freshening things up. They've got their last training session in San Diego this morning before they transfer up here to Vancouver later on this afternoon. They'll have a match day minus one run, and then they rip into Egypt. Let's be honest, this Egypt side is another top side. A lot of the attention on Mohamed Salah, but you know, Mamouche is an incredible player at Manchester City, phenomenal. So I think if New Zealand focus too much on the threat of Mohamed Salah, there are a number of players that can fill that void. It'll be a different test. It'll be a different challenge to the one that Iran threw against them. But with more and more Kiwis sort of starting to flood into Vancouver, I think the spread of fans in the stadium will be a little bit more equal than it was down in Los Angeles. And I've still got really high hopes that New Zealand can do something phenomenal, get 3 points and book a place in the final 32 at this World Cup.
Absolutely. And you know what? I think I can tell you something. I ended up, you'll be surprised when you hear this, I ended up going to a pub to watch a game on Tuesday. I know that might surprise you. But after Elijah just scored the first goal, there was hardly anyone there. Then people started coming in and coming in. I think the atmosphere Monday afternoon in New Zealand is going to be huge. And I have to say, this World Cup has been a brilliant World Cup. And there hasn't been, apart from yesterday, apart from Germany, Curacao, apart from Norway, Iraq, this tournament has been close. And there's not much between these teams.
No, look, it is phenomenal. I think it's vindication for the decision to go to 48. To go to 48 means, like, four games a day. If you're a football fan, it is an absolute smorgasbord. You know, we had a full day of travel yesterday. We missed the first three games and then picked up a little bit of the Mexico versus Korea match last night. Good win for Mexico. You want the hosts to do well.
Yeah.
So, again, you've had Canada win yesterday. You've had Mexico win, both those teams 2-2. USA are in action today as well. If I'm being honest, I'd really like to see Australia knock over the US, but in terms of the wider competition, a USA win, I think, will send this competition into another stratosphere as we enter into week two. I can't stress enough just how much World Cup fever has taken hold here in Vancouver. It's phenomenal the way that things are going here. So look, long may it continue, and here's hoping that the All Whites can start to write their name into history. Egypt have also never won a game at a World Cup in three attempts. So, you know, history's on the line for both of these sides. They're both eyeing each other up. It shapes up to be a really fascinating encounter at BC Stadium in Toronto.
Absolutely.
Vancouver. God, I forgot where I was.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, obviously, some of the big news that came out yesterday, Steve Corricker, he's moving on. He's heading to Japan, Yokohama Mariners. Is the place. Obviously, to go with Jonathan Gould that has already left, some players, and obviously some of the players, Dan Hall, May's likely to go to Newcastle, Liam Gillian looking like he may be going to West Sydney Wanderers. To be honest with you, I look at this and there were rumours about Corica going overseas. Obviously, now the franchise needs to find a replacement. Now, I've written down a few names, and this may weigh into it. Obvious choice would be his number two, Danny Hay.
Yeah, look, I think he's the leading contender. I wonder whether the only thing, and I don't know the exact details on this, but the A-League, in terms of their licensing agreement, the head coach needs to hold a pro license. I'm not sure where Danny Hay is on his pro license journey, whether he's completed it in process or whether it's still pending. So that little bit of fine print might be the only thing that scuppers Danny Hay's sense to being the head coach of Auckland FC. You're right, you know, from the final whistle in the grand final, the signals or the messaging coming out of the group was that it might be Steve Corica's last, that he might look for another opportunity overseas. That's come to fruition. And as you say, a few of the players starting to move on as well. I expect some movement the other way from Newcastle. Look to Lockie Bayliss, pulling on the shirt of Auckland FC. You know, come next year, I think that's going to be a possibility as well. But yeah, it's fascinating to see how this is going to pan out. I think the intention from Bill Foley and the Black Knight Football Club was that eventually they would like to see a New Zealander leading this side. Danny Hay is the obvious contender, but you know, people like Neil Emblin maybe might come into the equation, who's doing good things up here in football in North America as well. I think of a guy like Des Buckingham. I'm sure he'd love to move back into New Zealand football.
I had on my list. Now, and that's a Seamus, that's the name I had on my list. I know it would give you a close connection, but whether the financial incentive will be there, as we know, Dez is coaching in Saudi Arabia. But I was also looking at guys like Darren Baisley, could be part of the coaching format, even though he's contracted. But what about a guy like Graham Arnold?
Look, great shout, and I think that's the reality of where this team is now operating in, is that perhaps we are a little bit too insular the way that we look at it, and we do look at those familiar faces, but they might go out of the box like they did with Steve Corica and look to recruit someone who's got A-League experience. Graham Arnold currently leading Iraq in this World Cup. They had a difficult day against Norway in their opening game, but yeah, maybe he wants to come back and be a little closer to home. We've seen people like Patrick Kisnorbo, who tried his luck overseas, it didn't really work out from, and he's bounced back into the A-League as well. Kevin Musket is another name that's around there that would be a tasty one. Or Andrew Postecoglou is probably scratching around looking for a job. There's lots of possibilities. You're right, there might be some coaches coming off the World Cup experience that might looking for another opportunity in football, and that's what Auckland FC in the A-League.
Absolutely, Seamus. Anyway, we move on to Northern League, and of course the game that was played last night, Western Springs 1, Auckland FC Reserves 0. So we start off in the men's Northern League. These are the games for today. Melville versus Fencibles, Tauranga City versus Bay Olympic, Auckland United versus Eastern Suburbs, Birkenhead versus Auckland City, and in a big top of the table clash, and Manukau versus ECB, East Coast Bay. So this first one, mate, obviously you'll be going for a win or a draw for Melville.
This is signal where my head's at. I think Melville win this game at home. I think they were rocked over Easter weekend with a 7-1 loss away to Fencibles. They'll be wanting to put that one to bed. Good little Chatham Cup win, local derby last weekend, 3-0 over Ngāti United. They've got a tasty draw coming up in round four against Hibiscus Coast at the winning, but league form is important, and Fencies, Fencies tipped over Birkenhead last week in the cup too, so they're no mugs, but I think a bit of pride on the line for Melville, they win that one. In terms of Tauranga City versus Bay Olympic, I see a change of coach at Bay Olympic. Chris Milicic is going to and take over from Peter Smith, who's moving over to Melbourne to take up an opportunity there. I don't think that will be enough to get Bayo up against Tauranga. I think that's a long away trip, and Tauranga will win that game. Auckland United versus Eastern Suburbs, couple of powerhouse teams there. I think Eastern Suburbs are in good form at the moment, and they win that one. That's a bit of a local derby. Birkenhead versus Auckland City is a good one, as you rightly say, and I think Burko nudged that one over Auckland City. That's a real emerging rivalry between those two teams that's come up. And look, East Coast Bay should be far too powerful for Monaco United. I think that's one-way traffic. Monaco will finish bottom of the league.
Yeah, okay. Well, while we're here, and we'll get through these women's games, because I know you've got a lot of work to do. Just while we're here, Seamus, the Americans have just scored against Australia, so you can blame me for missing the goal. So, yeah. Anyway, moving on to the women's Northern League, Fencibles versus Western Springs, Eastern Suburbs versus Melville, FC Tauranga Moana take on West Coast Rangers, Ellerslie versus Auckland City, Auckland United, I should say. I put Auckland FC, I don't know why I done that.
Yeah, first match has been postponed. I'm not picking this why, but I picked that up early this morning, our local time here. So that's been pushed down the line. So let's deal with the first one, Eastern Suburbs versus Melville. Unfortunately for my Melville side, and I've said it, I feel like a broken record, but this NRFL Women's Premier League is a top four, bottom four situation here. Suburbs will be too strong for Melville United. Similarly, West Coast Rangers will be too strong for FC Tauranga Moana. And look, the Ellerslie-Auckland United game was probably the pick of the round, but Auckland United, they're in fine form. They're signing players left, right and centre. A lot of their players will be gearing up for that match against Chelsea coming up next month as well. So Auckland United beat Ellerslie in that one and maintain their place at top of the NRFL Women's Premiership.
Well, Seamus, thank you so much for making yourself available. I know that you're as busy as anything, and hopefully you get a bit of time to relax and get in touch with your family as well too. Obviously, the big game is on Tuesday, and to be honest with you, Seamus, I'm really looking forward to it on Monday, I should say.
Yeah, look. Oh, look, I've been lucky enough to be joined by my little family yesterday, so morale's been boosted, but the internet speeds are currently the biggest frustration here for me. But look, nothing's gonna dampen the spirits of an All Whites fan during a World Cup. First time in 16 years that our team has been back on the world stage. We've got a good platform after that draw against Iran, all set for a huge match against Egypt. They won't be looking any further than this game against the Pharaohs. And look, I've got a sneaky suspicion that this team is the team that might be able to do something. If we can get firing again like we did against Iran, it's going to be a heck of a watch, no matter where you are, whether you're here in Vancouver or back home in New Zealand.
And I'm just saying that it feels like, as I said to someone, it's different from 2010 and 1982, because our football has got better. We've got players who are full-time professional players overseas. I believe that, you know, what we saw in LA, hopefully is a hint towards the future. And, you know, I think a lot of people will be looking at this game on Monday afternoon in New Zealand with a lot of interest. And maybe a few people from the Oval Ball Code called Union might have other concerns, and especially here in the 09.
Well, look, I think before we round it out, I think the interesting thing coming out of the camp is that sense of what might have been. I think, you know, 16 years ago, a draw on the world stage, we take that as a real positive. But I think there's been a level shift in terms of the expectations from within this group about what they should be doing. And the fact that the final whistle, you talk to someone like Ryan Thomas who didn't know whether to celebrate or whether to be disappointed, signals that this team expects now to be winning games on the world stage. So, you know, this match against Egypt is no different. I don't think they'll be going in looking for another point. I think they'll be going in looking to win all three and then give Belgium a bloody good rattle as well when they take them on, because they've proved that they're not infallible either after that draw with Egypt. So, look, there is a level shift from within the group, and I think the quicker the football family first catches onto that, and then second, the sporting family of New Zealand catch onto that and realise, yes, we are a nation of, you know, 4 to 5 million people, but we can do some pretty impressive things on the world stage, no matter what the sport is.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Seamus. Bye.
And that was Seamus Martin. Next up, Gordon Bray, as we look across the ditch.
traveling in a freighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. She said, do you come from a land down under? A women go and men wonder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend. And wow, you know the song, and you know where we're heading. We're heading across the ditch to the legend of Australian broadcasting, Gordon Bray. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Eamon, and your listeners. Lovely. I'm up on the central coast of New South Wales. Lovely sunny morning. Blue skies overhead. And I've been up since 5 a.m. actually, watching the Socceroos with my 4-year-old grandson.
Oh, awesome. Now, I've got to ask you this. Has the World Cup captured the attention of Australian sports fans?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's the win over Turkey just ignited the whole country. Turkey, their players felt that they were a class above Australia, and they said that after the match, even though they were beaten 2-0. But, all of the news services led, the main television bulletins in the evening led with Australia's great victory. And there was huge expectation for a major upset against the USA, but alas, it was not to be.
Absolutely, yeah, and of course, America, of course, that was huge. They had 67,000 in Seattle. I'm just reading the reports, just an update on a game played at the moment. It's Morocco 1, Scotland 0. So it has been. I can tell you something, on this side of the Tasman, Gordon, it really has captured the imagination of sports fans. You know, there's so much football to watch, and especially here in New Zealand, we've got it at great times. And I'll be going out on Monday, as having a half day off work, to hopefully see the All Whites hopefully get a result against Egypt. And you'll be very surprised to hear this, Gordon. I'll probably be going to a pub to watch that.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it'll be a packed pub. I was delighted to see the All Whites, at least get something out of their first game and keep their hopes alive to make that knockout round. And it's all up in the air, I suppose, now for the Socceroos. They were totally overwhelmed, I've got to say, Eamon, in the first half. There was an own goal against Australia, Cameron Burgess. And then there was a little bit of doubt about USA's second goal. Initially it was called offside, but then on review, the goal was allowed. But you've got to remember, the USA are coached by Mauricio Pochettino.
Yes.
The great Argentinian coach. They've done well to get him. He is, one of the great coaches of world football. A very brutal match, I've got to say. There were 7 yellow cards issued. Australia had 2 of those in the first half. But to give you an idea of the USA's dominance, they had 9 shots to 2 in the first half and 70% of possession. And their high press just forced Australia into a panic situation. We did play very well in the second half, but seriously didn't challenge the USA, who I think eased off a little bit. And they've guaranteed pretty well their spot in the knockout round.
Absolutely, and of course then during the week, and of course in Melbourne, 91,000 fans at State of Origin 2, and it was a fantastic second half comeback by Queensland. They were just outstanding. I know you'll be disappointed, as you're a proud New South Wales man yourself, Gordon.
Yeah, well, thought the whole hype about New South Wales was totally overdone. I mean, I listened to the commentators in that first game, and where the Blues came back from that big deficit, and they were saying it was one of the greatest performances ever, one of the greatest matches ever, the biggest comeback ever, or the greatest comeback ever. I thought, hang on, Queensland had 12 men against 13, and the whole dynamic of the game changed after Queensland had dominated that first game, when a player was sent off, was red carded. So I wasn't getting carried away. And then before the presser, before the match during the week, someone said, questioned Laurie Daly about his state of origin record as head coach. I think he was 1 from 7 in series as head coach. He wasn't expecting that question, but it got quite a lot of airing here, and people were saying, well, you know, they're questioning Laurie Daly, and it put a little bit of doubt, I think, seeds of doubt in the minds of supporters. And as it turned out, it was a masterclass from Billy Slater, the Maroons coach in the second half. Boy, 36 points, I think, in 25 minutes in the second half. 6 tries in 25 minutes. Huge crowd, but an absolutely dominant Queensland team. And I guess it all now comes down to July 8 at Suncorp. And you've got to say the Maroons are going to be a warm favourite in front of their faithful.
Absolutely, they would have to be. They'd have to be big favourites. And when you look at it, was it the way they just came back? It was just amazing to watch. To be honest with you, Gordon. And of course, then we move on to the other rugby code. Well, we've got a big Super Rugby final here, which is going to be between the Hurricanes and Chiefs. But in Australia, you've named your first Wallaby squad of the year.
We have named our squad. By the way, I'm really looking forward to that game tonight at the Cape Tin. I think the two best teams certainly have come through for the season climax. And I must say I was very impressed the way the Hurricanes put the Blues away in the second half, coming out after halftime. They just went up a couple of notches. But you can't take anything away from the Chiefs, the way they blitzed the Crusaders in that first half. So looking forward to that. But just to follow up on your question, yeah, the Wallaby squad has been announced for these upcoming matches, and there are 3 new faces. Miles Amatasero, who's the big lock from the Waratahs. He's a raw bone guy who's been playing in France, and he probably came of age a bit this year, I think, playing for the very disappointing Waratahs. And also Derek Meredith, the Brumbies' number 10, and Lockie Shaw, the Brumbies' lock of both. They're the other new faces. James Slipper, the Dame Nelly Melba of Australian rugby, has been back into the squad. And our overseas players have been named Len Ikitau and Tom Hooper, who will both be playing tonight in the English Premiership final decider against Northampton. They'll be playing for the Exeter Chiefs. And both of those guys have been in superlative form. I've got to say, they've really shot the lights out. Daniela Tupou and Angus Bell are also included of the overseas player contingent. So not too many surprises. I guess the big surprise for me was Lucan Salake Lotto was not picked in the squad. And he's been an absolute mainstay of the Reds forward pack this year. Very physical, but Joe Schmidt wants more from him. He wants more consistency.
And, of course, then you probably also, obviously, Zach Lomax, not enough game to Union to be considered within that Wallaby squad. And, of course, he probably will be picked up by the Australian A program, which will be coached by Stephen Larkham. And after he finishes his duties with the Wallabies, he'll be joined by a certain Joe Schmidt.
Yeah, that's fascinating, isn't it? I was a bit from left field earlier in the season when the Brumbies were riding high and had beaten all of the New Zealand teams, obviously not the Hurricanes, and they certainly came back to earth in that finals match against the Hurricanes. But I thought that Stephen Larkham deserved to be acknowledged as a head coach, and I thought, well, why not have Les Kiss and Stephen Larkham? Larkham, a World Cup hero. You know, he's proven himself at Brumbies level. He coached over in Ireland. And I thought, well, why not? But that wasn't to be. He didn't really get an interview for the head coaching job, which went to Les Kiss. But I think this is a terrific move by Rugby Australia. The Brumbies disappointed me in the second half of the season, and I'm sure they disappointed Larkham. But he's been given a second chance, and to have Joe Schmidt there with Simon Cron, who's been an outstanding coach for the Force, I think they're the two assistants for Larkham. I think it's a sort of a rehearsal, really, Eamon, to see if Larkham is ready to be a head coach of Australia at some time in the future.
Absolutely. And then, of course, then we have a look at the cricket. And, of course, just to let you know, it looks like we're basically in control against England and our Black Caps men, but our women's White Ferns have been very disappointed. Only just snuck a 4-run win over Ireland. But your women's cricket team is going great guns in this 2020 World Cup.
Yeah, well, they beat South Africa first up, and they've thrashed Bangladesh. I mean, I must admit, I couldn't get too excited about it. It hasn't had a lot of exposure here in Australia, but Bangladesh, I think, could manage 77 runs from 20 overs, which is pretty pathetic, I've got to say. But the nice thing about it is Elise Perry has come back, our greatest ever all-rounder, and she took 2 wickets in the first over and hit the winning runs. A good effort. They've pretty well, I think, notched the semi-final spot now in the T20 Women's World Cup. And they play Netherlands tonight. But I'm far more interested in the match at the Oval, to be honest. I'm enjoying seeing a very professional New Zealand side play against what has been a sloppy performance by England. They were very disappointing, I think, on the second day when they allowed New Zealand to get all of those extra runs. And now the Kiwis have really got their foot on the throat, and I think they're poised to level the series.
Absolutely. And what's been the reaction in Australia after the retirement of Kane Williamson?
Well, I think disappointment. I mean, he's, you know, one of my favourite all-time batsman, just a class act. They did a lovely batting clinic with him at when there was a rain delay at Lord's, and it was fascinating. He was interviewed for about 20 minutes and went through all of his repertoire, his mental approach. He was fantastic, but he's up there with, I think of Steve Smith and Coley. Williamson is right up there as a modern day great, I'm sad to see him go, because he's still got it as far as I'm concerned.
And then we go on to great rugby characters. Well, you were telling me an interesting story on Richard Harry. Now, he is a former Wallabies prop. He was part of the 1999 World Cup winning side. His father, Phil Harry, he was the president of Australian rugby. But you told me this very funny story.
It is. By the way, our World Cup winning coach from 99, Rod McQueen, is battling cancer at the moment and not in good shape at all. So our thoughts are certainly go out to him. But yeah, I've got to do an armchair chat with Richard Harry for charity. So I rang up Andrew Blades, who was the loose head prop for Australia when we won the World Cup in 99. Sorry, he was the tight head prop and Richard Harry was the loose head prop. And so I said to Blazy, you know, I need a couple of nice stories on Richard. What can you tell me? He said, well, I've got one good one. In 1996, which is the first season of Super Rugby, it was the match against the Hurricanes, apparently, and all of the Waratah players had a bet on Richard Harry at long odds to score the first try. The Hurricanes were riding high in the tournament, and anyway, the Waratahs were down near the bottom of the table, but I think they put 50 points on the Hurricanes that day. But guess who scored the first try? They had a driving maul from a line-out, and Richard Harry scored the try, and the Waratah players went bananas, and the Hurricanes couldn't work out what was going on. But they'd all had 50 bucks. They'd all had 50 bucks at very juicy odds on Harry scoring the first try. I haven't told Harry that I'm going to be asking him that question, so it'll be interesting to get his reaction as to whether he backed himself as well. So, I'm looking forward to that.
I would say if this was done today, there'll be a few taps on the shoulders, wouldn't there?
Oh, yes. No, not. I must tell you one, just before we go,
yeah.
I don't condone betting, particularly if you're commentating, but occasionally, in my younger days, I would have a little scallywag wager, and my favourite wager was at the World Cup in 91, and I'd been doing my research, and I worked out that, Michael Jones scored the first individual try of the 87 World Cup. And then New Zealand's playing England at Twickenham in the opening match in 91. Could he do it again? So I went up to Ladbrokes, and he was 20-1. And I thought, oh, I've got to have something on that. So I had 20 quid on him at 20-1. And then I forgot all about it. And I'm calling the game after halftime, and suddenly Michael Jones is in the clear and racing for the line. And it hit me about 20 metres out that, holy dooly, 20-1, 20 quid. And he scored the try. I went up several octaves and paid for my expenses for the whole World Cup journey. So, And I was very pleased that he wasn't allowed to play on the Sunday in the semi-final. Even though it was a Monday in New Zealand.
Yes, well, I will say this, is that we can go back to that. There's still some sore memories with a lot of those former All Blacks, but in all honesty, Gordon, that Wallaby side was the best team in world rugby at that time, so yeah.
Yes, and Ireland will claim they were the second best team after losing the quarter final.
Yeah, well, I was
hoping. The Irish supporters said at least we're the second best team. Well, I don't know whether I'd agree with that, but they certainly gave Australia a hell of a fright in that quarter final at Lansdowne Road. But yeah, that was a great Wallaby team, and Michael Jones was one of my favourite all-time All Blacks.
Absolutely. Well, Gordon, you have a wonderful weekend for the rest of the weekend. I hope you enjoy watching a bit of sports, and I hope you enjoy watching New Zealand win that cricket match.
Yeah, no, look, I'll be up watching that, and I'll certainly watch the Exeter Chiefs, the Exeter Wallabies, as we're calling them now, against Northampton Saints. I think the Saints might maybe have a little bit too much when it comes to the crunch time, and I'm just enjoying watching the golf at the moment, the US Open, and Rory McIlroy hasn't had, I think he's had one par on the second nine so far. He's played seven holes, so he's had birdies and bogeys, and he's been all over the shop, but boy, it's a difficult course.
Absolutely. Well,
good to see Ryan Fox though, though.
Yes, absolutely. Well. Anyway, I'll leave you to it, Gordon. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Simon. All the best, mate.
Cheers. And he's wonderful, isn't he? Our voice from across the ditch, Mr. Gordon Bray. Next up, we've got our panel, and of course, we've got Mr. Sean Summerfield and Mark Watson. day, everyone. I'm just trying to get hold of Sean Summerfield. But while we're here, I'm just going to introduce the man, the legend, Mark Watson. And this and the panel is brought to you by the Horse and Trap. It is your local in Mount Eden. They're based at 3 Enfield Street. They have the World Cup Soccer Live. And they have a fantastic daily drink specials, food specials, a fantastic conference room. So make sure you get down to the Horse and Trap. It's your local in Mount Eden. Their number is 09630 3055, and or you can email them info@horseandtrap.co.nz. Joining us on line one, and while I get to line two, the man, the legend, Mark Watson, good morning to you.
Yeah, morning, welcome to you and your listeners.
Yeah. Now, what's been your reaction to the Football World Cup? I'll let you talk while I do a little bit of minor production there, Mark.
Oh, look, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I think it's been a highly entertaining World Cup. A lot of goals being scored, which is important. Really pleasing to see England do well under Thomas Tuchel. I think this guy is bringing something really special off. I know that it's hard as an English fan because it's been such a long time in the wilderness, but I actually do believe that England genuinely have a real chance of maybe winning this World Cup. Boy, Argentina looked good again with Messi the other day, didn't they? France, understandably why they go again as one of the pre-favourites for the World Cup. Interesting scenario at the French. You've got Dembele, you've got Mbappe. Now, I was reading a little bit regarding both these players, obviously both the face of the French team. Dembele's won a couple of European Cups with Paris Saint-Germain, a team that turned its form around after Mbappe left. Mbappe very much the face of the French team, but Dembele is starting to encroach a little bit on that, and you just wonder whether or not Mbappe can still be the ultimate team man, not want to try and steal the show and ensure that he remains the face of the French team over Dembele, and whether that little dynamic possibly affects this French team going forward. It doesn't appear to at the moment, but that's just how the smallest margins and just how sometimes just a little bit of a change in team dynamic can affect things. I thought New Zealand played really positively the other day, and I'm just, I don't mind if we lose 3 or 4-0 against Egypt or Belgium, as long as we just go out there with the intent of playing open attacking football. So I think it's been a thoroughly entertaining first week of the Football World Cup. Currently Scotland at the moment play Morocco. Morocco all over them. Morocco look a very, very good side as well, fourth at the previous World Cup. And great to see both Canada and the United States through to the next round as host nations along with Mexico. And so, there will be that team that will go on a run, one of these teams that no one expects. Who's that? Who will that be? And there'll obviously be some big upsets along the way as well.
Absolutely. And on line two, the silver tongue, silver fox, Sean Summerfield. Now, apologies, this was my fault. When I wrote, I always write down Sean's number wrong, and I done it again. So apologies, Sean. Has the World Cup really got your attention at this stage, Sean?
It's getting there, guys. And don't worry, I get numbers wrong all the time. That's why I'm probably not employed as a sports reporter anymore. I love the All Whites opener. I thought it was fantastic. I don't know if they went to sleep a little bit, let that second goal through so quickly. We're very good at underestimating opposition. Chris were just unbelievable in there. And to think we are the lowest ranked team there. So I was immensely proud. It was such a cool thing to see. I don't think I've ever felt they've belonged more at a World Cup the way they played. It just looked fantastic, and what a stadium to play at. So that side of it is amazing. I think the crowds have been amazing. Obviously, all their visitors and expats have added the real spirit to it. But the tournament's building up. I'm hoping for a miracle against Egypt, because that'll be enough to get us through. And I'm happy to dream.
Absolutely. Well, obviously, while we're dreaming of a World Cup victory, there's a little important thing happening tonight at Henry Stadium called the Super Rugby Final. A little small. And then there's another small thing happening on Monday, not the All Whites versus Egypt, but also they've renamed his first All Black side. Your thoughts on the final and a potential All Black squad, Mark?
Yeah, look, I think this is probably one of the most enticing Super Rugby finals we have seen. I think the competition has struggled somewhat. you know, under the with South Africa leaving and all the reasons we've discussed in previous sort of weeks and episodes. But when it actually comes to a final, I don't think there's a final that's been harder to pick in regards to the two teams that take the park. I mean, back in the day, this would be a probables versus possibles, almost all-black trial. I mean, you've got Simisoni Takiaho up against the Sakura Mua. You've got Basilio Tosi up against Brody McAllister. Then you run through, you know, the other... the other matchups, Josh Lord Tupu Vai coming up against arguably, I think, the best lock in the competition, and that has been Warner Dunes, also Asaya Walker Leiweri. But I think probably where the real interest is in the battle around the loose with Devin Flanders, Duplessis Karipi, Peter Lakai coming up against Samapini Finau, Luke Gibson and Simon Parker. And then you've only got to go wide, look at Quintu Pyre and obviously Jordy Barrett in the mix. I do think the Hurricanes probably look the slightly more balanced team. I think they are playing at home. I don't think they're as beaten up as badly as the Chiefs. So I think the Hurricanes, maybe 55-45 if I was a betting man. You'd have to feel for the Chiefs if they lose their fourth Super Rugby final, but that is the nature of sport, isn't it? There's been a whole lot of nearly men or almost teams or the what-if sides and throughout history, whether it be at individual level or whether it be a team sport level. So, yeah, look, it's appointment viewing tonight, isn't it? It's actually a mouth-watering Super Rugby final. And personally, I don't actually have an emotional connection to either side. I just want a good game of rugby. I'd love to see Josh Morby, Callum Harkin shine for the Hurricanes equally too. I'd love to see Liam Coombs Fabling really show what he's capable of. And I'd probably like to see Courtiers Ratama kick on a little bit, because I think backup halfback is still one area of sort of concern for us behind Cam Wygard.
Absolutely. Your thoughts on the final, Sean?
I'm just wondering, when you said 55-45, were you talking about a percentage chance, or will that be the score? Because based on the way the Hurricanes have played this year, I mean, phenomenal, the attacking rugby that they've turned on, and I think we can't underestimate that. I'm still sort of... And look, I'm blaming the jersey for the Crusaders' performance. Why would you wear the jersey from your worst ever season in a semi-final? That's up there with the grey All Blacks jersey back in 07, but... You know, I think you can't deny what the Hurricanes have brought to Super Rugby this year. Then you've got the Chiefs, fourth great final. I don't want to call it grand final. I hate that it's overstating it. The fourth straight Super Rugby final, just amazing. Will there be redemption for them? But you have to think the Hurricanes are the team. They've been clinical and they've been exciting, and we can't ask for any more. But that said, and I'm like you, I don't have an emotional connection to either team, but I don't know. It just, I don't think this competition has ignited properly this year, and I can't put my finger on it. And unfortunately, I think some of the people putting it together can't either.
Absolutely. Well, just while we're here, guys, All Black squad name Monday now. Obviously, it's pretty much the same. The same big Lester is out for the Nations Cup, potentially out for the South African tour. Watto, have you got any bolters? Obviously, Josh Morby's been spoken about. Lennox from the Highlanders has been spoken about. Possible. They're even talking Hutchison and the forwards, Segner. Maybe a chance. Do you see any bolter coming in?
Yeah, Lucas Casey possibly out of the Highlanders if you want a different type of seven. I think he's an extraordinary footballer, incredibly fast. Northland 100, 200 and 400 metre sprint champion. And I think he just brings a different type. I think he'll get an opportunity this year, whether he's part of that initial squad, probably not. Look, I think the big talking point for me, what do we do with Beauden Barrett? I think he's had his time. I think if you pick Beauden Barrett now, you're picking him all the way through to the World Cup, and I think there's a danger in that. I think at some point we've got to give some of these other Josh Jacob, maybe others, Ray Hana, Taha Kamara, an opportunity. I think Damien McKenzie's your starting 10. Mm-hmm. I obviously think Reuben Love will be given plenty of opportunity too in the 10 jersey, so I think that's obviously the big talking point there. I think, it's who misses out on the loose and who, you know, does Anton Segner get in? If Anton Segner gets in, who misses out? If Lucas Casey gets in, who misses out? Who are they seen in the sixth jersey? Because I think Peter Larkwise probably secured himself in the eighth jersey from what we've seen. Yeah, and then there is those opportunities out wide in terms of, you know, who's our centre? Does Billy Proctor get another opportunity? Are they looking at Quintu Pyre as the centre? They're the sort of ones of concern. Josh Morby, I'm a big believer in him. I'm a big believer in Callum Harkin, but I think Harkin's probably not quite there yet, but a very, very good utility as well. So, yeah, I think there will be possible boulders. I think Xavier Numea will go very close. The Hurricanes, Loosehead. Yeah, and then again, you look at it and go, yeah, you know, any other lock's going to sort of break in here. Jamie Hanna, does he get in from the Crusaders? I mean, what I will say is last week, you know, that Chiefs first 40 minutes was as good as rugby I've seen from any team, and I don't think anyone would live with the Chiefs for that first 40 minutes. But suddenly the likes of David Harvili and some of these players that were talked about became very invisible very, very quickly. So look, I hope there are some bolters. I hope there is some fresh thinking in the thought of the selectors, but there is also I think in the back of everyone's mind that maybe the group of players that were involved in the All Blacks last year maybe didn't necessarily show their best, arguably because of the coaching setup.
Absolutely. Do you see any bolters, Sean?
So Isaac Hutchison, he's pretty out now, is he? So is he with injury, or is he... So he would be the unlucky, which would make... If Bowden Barrett got selected, he would be the lucky one.
Oh, yeah.
But don't rule that out. I don't know, absolute bolted, you say, someone like Kyle Preston, if you want to go absolute left field. I don't know, but I'm... You know, I think we've got to realise that there is a different... And Mark just highlighted it now. You know, we always look Blues and Crusaders. We've got to look more central now. And, you know, the Chiefs and the Hurricanes as players that are in it, that's what you've got to do.
Absolutely.
I think there will be concern if Barrett gets in, Anton Leonard-Brown gets in, and Rico Awani end up making this team again.
Not Rico.
I think people will be somewhat head-scratching there. I don't have such a problem with Anton Leonard-Brown. I actually think he still has something to offer, potentially at centre, an area of weakness. But, yeah, I think if those three are named, we're just going to be going, are you kidding me? You know, and then we wonder why some of these players that have hung around in New Zealand decide that it's time to, you know, get up and go.
Absolutely, and you're dead right there. Anyway, Sean, motorsports. Well, I tell you what, Liam Lawson is causing some small little issues for Red Bull at the moment. He's consistent. He is Mr. Consistency at the moment. 8th in the last Grand Prix, 10th on the drivers, on the driver's table, on the driver's standing. Just how are you seeing this? And I'm very happy for Liam. I think it's great.
Oh yeah, look, I think he's doing great. He's not in a front running car. He's consistent. Obviously, he lost a place the week before when they realised they got it wrong in Monaco with Gasly. But then he gained a point, gained a place last week when they tidied things up. Interestingly, his 28 points nearly matches what he got the entire last season at the halfway stage. So, I mean, I just think he's ticking along just beautifully. And the car's, you know, getting more and more competitive. He's ahead of his teammate, and Arvin is a class act, and that's the big thing. But I love the fact, this is Liam, his honest post-race line that have finished outside the points that the front runners hadn't have dropped out. So, you know, I love the fact that he's not getting ahead of himself, and he's calling it like it is. But then last weekend too, we had Le Mans, and we had, you know, Hartley and Bamba there again. They've won it there before, but then there was a drive-through penalty. Hartley got in trouble for not following the car, didn't follow team orders, but so he finished third in the end. Earl Bamba, immense pace. He was looking near the front in quali, but then they had a breakdown. So, you know, awesome stuff going on. The biggest race, the Monaco, Le Mans. So we had Liam in the points at Monaco. We had third on the podium at Le Mans. And obviously, unfortunately, Scott Dixon, he was looking good at Indy too. That would have been an amazing year for the Kiwis. But, you know, they're back again. We've got Road America coming up and after the weekend. Shane Van Gisbergen's on a street circuit in San Diego. So watch out again for that, because remember, and I think if he wins this, does he become the most successful street or road course racer ever, I think, or something like that. So just amazing what's going on. And then we've got supercars this weekend. Matt Payne, second in the championship at the moment. So, mate, happy times if you're a Kiwi Motorsport fan.
Okay, we move on. Mark, Warriors down in Christchurch this weekend. And plus, when we look at it, the Black Caps are looking towards a potential second test win against England.
Yeah, I mean, a century by Henry Nicholls. He's been in the wilderness for some time, hasn't he? Brought back into this New Zealand team, and I think all the batsmen struggled a little bit, Lords, on that Lords pitch. But, yeah, looking very good and very much on top of England. Should win this test. I mean, England, the only thing they can do is bat for a draw here. But, I mean, I don't know what it is. I'd love to see a PhD study on why teams capitulate on the final day and a half of a test, and anything above 300 almost seems to be impossible. And so we're very much in a really strong position to square this series up. And, yeah, I mean, English cricket to a degree. I mean, the Ben Stokes stuff's been just an absolute disaster for them. I've got very little sympathy. I mean, I was always hard on cricket, as I always felt there's always been a bit of a booze culture in there, I think, compared to a lot of other sports people. They're a little bit lazy, and I've never seen I don't think it's the case with this current New Zealand team, so forgive me for this, but I think there's always been this sort of, I just can't believe how highly cricketers tend to rate themselves and the arrogance they've often brought off the field. And, you know, I remember Ben Stokes saying, look, there's no weak men in my dressing room after the first or second test last year in Australia. Well, mate, you know, if you can't go to bed before 12 o'clock and you don't have enough discipline to not drink after you've already been hauled over the coals for a disaster in Australia, mate, there's only one weak man in that dressing room, or currently not, but that is Ben Stokes. So look, I hope we do ram at home. Good for New Zealand cricket. I mean, Test cricket's the pinnacle, isn't it? Winning in England's just remarkable. Winning in Australia's remarkable, and winning in India at Test level is just simply remarkable. So you're really, really pleasing. Our Warriors tomorrow in Christchurch. Need to just get that second half of the season going now. I thought they played okay last week against Cronulla. They're going to have a stunning crowd down there and a new stadium. Hopefully it works in their favour and they can get the job done against the North Queensland Cowboys, and we sort of do march on. Really good. Just the other thing quickly too, I see James McDonald, Chris Waller,
yep.
They're over in the UK at the moment, and they're racing in the at Royal Ascot and the Queen Elizabeth II. It's a sprint race, and it's a big, big race to win. And, you talk about Shane Van Gisbergen and guys like that, but I think Waller and James McDonald are two really, really good ambassadors for New Zealand overseas in a sport that maybe we don't give enough credit to in regards to the athleticism required at that level.
Okay, Sean Summerfield, Warriors cricket, 90 seconds. You have 90 seconds there, young man.
Last Saturday can be the blip, get it back on there. How awesome is that going to be in Christchurch? Black Caps too, I just think that's great. Lords was a bit bloody annoying, and then, you know, to see what they're doing at the Oval, just fantastic. And it adds a bit of shine compared to what the White Ferns are doing. Six catches, goodness me, dropped.
Absolutely.
Goodness me.
And I will say this right now, they have been absolutely below par, and people can have a go at me for saying that. I'd say it if it was with the Black Caps, but I'm going to tell you something right now. They're losing to Sri Lanka and almost losing to Ireland, as far as I'm concerned, is disappointing, and they shouldn't be there. But we've got less than 30 seconds, and I know that we could be here for ages talking about that. But no, I hope both of you enjoy the weekend. Watto, always, always great to have you on here, mate.
Yeah, no, appreciate it. Look, enjoy it. Enjoy Super Rugby tonight. Enjoy the All Whites on Monday. Enjoy the league tomorrow. The cricket overnight. It's a beautiful thing if you love your sport, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And Sean, thank you so much. It was great having a catch-up yesterday as well too, mate.
Yeah, thanks for finally calling the right number.
Yeah, I know. That's why you have been. I used to moan, I never can get hold of you. On that note, guys, have a great weekend. Cheers, guys. And that's us done.